Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and D. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Okay, so this is our first episode back from SETC, which was this past weekend. We had a great time, and we enjoyed seeing all of you guys there. Thanks to everybody who attended our workshop as well on podcasting. That was, I hope everybody got something out of it anyway. John has decided to take off and head down to Orlando for the week because it is our spring break this week. So I'm here doing the intro solo. So those of you guys who were at the podcasting workshop and heard us talking about our first episode, it was a lot like this. And yes, I'm in my closet right now. Anyway, today we're gonna take a listen to some of the audio that we captured at SETC. We were able to catch Todd Restow of Studio Roanoke. And then we had two professional auditionees stop by, and we had plenty of those. But we're going to hear today from Melissa Powell and Matthew Riley. And then we're going to hear a talk with our good friend Gary Garrison, who it was great to see him again. And I'm glad to say that's becoming a tradition at SETC. So without further ado, here it is.
Carlin Effect, go.
Some of my favorite oxymorons. Mandatory options. Mutual differences, non-dairy creamer.
Thus saith George.
Thus ends his catechism.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet.
Yet I ask you to take time to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater.
Todd Restow from Hollins University, but also Studio Roanoke Theater, who was at our workshop yesterday.
Yes, and it was very interesting, very informative.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll give you a check a little bit later.
Yeah, we can just still sort of make it out too. I'm not sure about the informative part, but I'm sure it was entertaining. So you're interested in podcasting, obviously, because you came to the workshop. But what you want to tie that back in with Studio Roanoke?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the nature of the workshop, which mm-hmm. was really intriguing. We're starting a new storefront theater space in Roanoke that'll be dedicated to doing new plays.
Okay.
One of the hardest things about producing new plays is that nobody's ever heard of them before.
Right.
So I thought that podcasting would be an excellent way to not only get the word about the plays
sure.
and the productions out, but also kind of simulate word of mouth
mm-hmm.
because people could, you know, pass the links or share
sure.
the files.
Right.
And that would generate more interest and better communicate quickly what it is we're doing down there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we talked a little bit about actually, you know, doing interviews with playwrights and, you know, kind of talking through the process of the rehearsals and stuff like that. Is that kind of the idea of what you're going with, or do you have a different idea in mind?
Well, I did my internship when I was at the University of Iowa Playwrights Workshop
mm-hmm.
Back in the middle 80s.
Okay.
I did my internship at a place called Home for Contemporary Theater and Art in New York City.
Okay.
And it was run by a guy named Randy Rollison, who was the original producer of Eve Edsler's Vagina Monologues.
Okay.
And Home eventually became the theater in New York that's now called Here.
Okay.
And so I wanted to have an environment like the old storefront theaters that were a big part of the 80s downtown new play movement that was happening in New York, but I wanted to do it in a much more cost-effective city and a city in which I actually live.
Okay.
So we're doing it in Roanoke, and because it's also affiliated with the MFA playwriting program I run at Hollins University, we can get all of the guest artists that have come in as guests of that program to maybe come back and work with our playwrights on an individual basis. We want to do one developmental workshop production of a new play from that program or from other playwrights or people affiliated with the program each month.
Cool.
We'll bring the playwright in and bring the guest director in for a three-week rehearsal process. The shows are all going to have only a $500 production budget.
Wow.
So that the focus is on storytelling, not on spectacle.
Nice.
And bad writing can't be fixed with good spectacle.
Ain't it the truth?
And we're never going to call anything we do there a world premiere, because I very much believe that the world premiere phenomenon is actually detrimental to playwriting, because so many theaters want to have the very first production. But in a lot of cases, that play is not ready for a premiere because it needs a developmental production where it can fall on its face ahead of time.
Right.
Right.
Those problems can be fixed by seeing it up and running and then have your world premiere. So if we're bringing in a guest director from Chicago or New York or D.C. or something, and they are working on this developmental production, there's every likelihood that that director will then take that fixed play back to their theater and run it.
Right.
We also want to work with people who are coming into the playwriting program, you know, guest artists, who see the space that we've created and realize that it would be a much more cost-effective thing to come in, develop their play in Roanoke, and then take it back to New York.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a bunch of, we're not going to, there'll be salons, but we're going to call them lounges. So, the first Tuesday of every month will be a poetry lounge.
Okay.
They'll have a featured poet who'll do maybe five poems, and then people sign up as kind of a round robin thing.
Okay.
Up to another 10 poets who'll read one poem each.
Uh-huh.
Then the second Tuesday of every month is going to be the comedy lounge, and it'll be the same kind of thing, but only comedy, improv, and stand-up.
Cool.
Oh,
and then
fun.
The third Tuesday of every month will be what we're calling acoustic lounge, and that'll be four local singer-songwriters who'll each get a 15-minute set, have an intermission, and then other singer-songwriters can sign up in the same kind of round-robin thing.
Sure.
So the second act will be single song opportunities, and then we'll do a free-form jam afterwards. And the whole idea is to have a programming like that that breaks apart what people in our region think of as performance or plays, and get them invested in theater as a collaborative medium that includes the audience as collaborator, and gradually kind of use that venue to create a more educated and supportive audience for new works in our area, so that we become kind of, for new plays, what Athens is for new music, or you know, we want to be a real national ignition point.
I just can't help but say that it's a shame that's a radical concept.
Yeah.
You know, that it's a collaborative art form, and that the audience is included with that collaboration. I think that's so easily overlooked, and usually is. You know, everybody has their specialty, you know, in terms of what they do and everything, and so they want to focus on what, you know, everybody wants to focus on what they do well. But it is so important to include as many artists as you possibly can, and we think of including just theater artists. I think that's fantastic.
Well, I know it myself as an audience member, that the thing that I hate most in this world is sitting in an audience for a play and feeling like my time and my money is being stolen, rather than feeling like I have been invited into a space and maybe I've paid for the privilege of that invitation, but I'm receiving something very valuable in return, and I'm recognized as something more than a wallet delivery device.
Right.
Yes.
You know, that my presence is actually important and valued.
Yeah.
Not just my presence at the box office.
Again, just a shame that's a radical concept.
I know.
Now, how long have you, has the Studio Roanoke, how long has this taken you to get to?
We just got our 501c3 last month.
Wow.
So it's kind of an interesting process. There's this student in my MFA playwriting program named Kenley Smith. And when I invited him into the program, I was very excited by his work. I had no idea that he was a person of independent means.
Ah.
But that was very fortuitous. And he was very frustrated by the fact that there weren't very many opportunities in our area for new plays. Mill Mountain Theater was, you know, the kind of cornerstone of all of the performance in our area. But Ken actually went to the artistic director at Mill Mountain and offered an annual contribution of $10,000 to restore more of the New Works programming that was already on the books.
Wow.
But the theater, as you probably know, has already closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the time, the artistic director was very invested, rightly so, with the mission given to him by the board of saving the theater, and that meant the main stage. And if he had accepted that earmarked $10,000 restricted $10,000 a year contribution for New Works and was forced to use it to have maybe four new productions in the second stage, that's four times 6 weeks that he wouldn't be able to use that space for other things that support the main stage, like paint shop, rehearsal room, classroom.
Right.
And as difficult as it was to turn down that money, he had no choice.
Right.
And Ken was very frustrated at how hard it was to give away money. And so he said, well,
you haven't come talk to us.
Yeah.
So, and you've got a bleeper, right?
We do.
He said, well, fuck it. And he bought a building two blocks down from Mill Mountain that was a clothing store, and got a small business loan to renovate it and turn it into a studio theater space.
That's
and formed a not-for-profit company called Studio Roanoke, of which I am now the artistic director.
Awesome.
And we're in a campaign to raise $100,000 to fit out the thing. We've got we're calling it the first 100, and we're asking 100 people to give us $1,000 so we can put in a light grid, buy the lights, get the light board, the dimmer packs, seats, and all of that. And because I very much believe in nothing motivating like a deadline, we've already scheduled our first production in that space for the end of April.
Wow.
So Save Our Theater is something that you hear a lot right now. A lot of theaters, the About Face in Chicago, the Magic Theater, everybody's sending out these emails saying, well, we need $300,000 by the end of the month or we're going to close. Well, we need $100,000 by the beginning of next month so that we can open. So support something that's starting.
That's good.
Right. Very good.
That's awesome. And so, I mean, I think that's great that you're already, you know, thinking forward in terms of using podcasting and using this technology that gets overlooked so many times and as a viable means to, you know, to help promote everything that you do. Congratulations on that.
Well, the great thing too about podcasting is that interactive component that you talk about, because even though, you know, the podcast itself is static once it's finished, it creates a kind of launching point for a lot of that interactive communication, which is inherent to the theater itself.
Right.
So I'm really excited about what you guys are doing and how you're spreading this notion of, for some, a very scary modern tool, even though it's been around for a while, as a way to build that kind of investment and support.
Sure.
Because if you're invested as an audience member or a donor, it's going to be harder for you to let that thing fail.
Right.
So.
Sure will. That's for sure. Well, thank you. That's very kind. And best of luck to you on this project. I hope.
Well, before you go, since you're in your fundraising phase, throw out contact information.
Yeah, how can people give money?
You can go to the website, which is www.studioroanoke.org, or you can contact me through my university email at Hollins University. Just look up Todd Ristau, TRISTAU at hollins.edu, or TRISTA@studioroanoke.org.
Cool. Awesome. Cool. Awesome.
Best of luck with
that. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's fantastic. And you get one of our cards here. Make sure that you give us a call back and let us know what's going on our voicemail line, and we'll definitely keep in touch with you and do some more interviews down the road.
If we actually open up in April, maybe we'll invite you up and you can do a live podcast during a show or something.
That would be cool. Yeah, that would be awesome.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
Want to stay current with The Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
Back bad credit? No credit? High-interest credit cards? Don't work from home. Working from home is for suckers. Go out there with headshot in hand. Audition. Book gigs. It'll be time well spent. At least you'll be paying the rent.
Here's how.
Okay, I'm Matthew Riley. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. I'm going to St. Joseph's Catholic School right now. I'm a junior, and I'm auditioning for colleges here at SETC.
Awesome. And have you already auditioned?
No, I'm auditioning tomorrow.
Okay.
Saturday.
Cool. And he's number 107.
107.
Yep. 107.
Do you know what kind of program you're looking for in college?
Yeah, I've been looking at all the colleges here. It's really amazing. I'm looking for undergraduates in business and theater because I want to be involved with theater, but I don't want to put all my chips in one place, so to say.
Right.
So I want to have options as well.
Cool.
So I'm looking at various colleges here. It's great.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So you're looking more for an arts management sort of idea?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And you're doing workshops and stuff like that here?
I've done so many amazing workshops already. Probably the most interesting thing I've learned so far is this really easy backstage massage technique that you can give fellow actors or have done on you yourself, and it's
nice.
A great way to relax, and it's really fun.
Nice. I don't know how I missed that workshop.
Yeah, really.
It was actually a mime workshop, and the guy taught it to us just to loosen us up before.
Cool.
And then later on that day, I took an actual massage course, and that one was just as relaxing as fun.
That's awesome. It's so neat, all the stuff that you can find at SETC. It really is.
So, and it's so variety, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah.
so varied. That's very cool.
Awesome.
So best of luck on Saturday.
Okay, thank you.
Congratulations. What's your name?
Melissa Powell.
Melissa Powell, where are you from?
I'm from Rome, Georgia.
Okay. Yeah, that's not... Where's Rome? No, Rome's on the south end of Georgia?
No, northwest.
No, okay.
Northwest, yeah, I'm a northeast guy.
So you're a northeast guy, okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Where are you from Georgia as well?
I was born in Atlanta, and my family is from Athens.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
there you go. Well, so I was close. It's in Georgia. That was close.
Right.
Are you Alabama education?
Yeah,
there.
That's it. Yeah, I know that's inside the state. You're here auditioning, right? Mm-hmm. You showed me your number. She's legit. Okay,
yes.
She showed me your number. So.
I just didn't wear it.
Oh, I don't know.
They've already started the partying.
I see. I can see that.
Yeah,
it's a healthy pour right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
So,
it is.
Was
so,
that like a $20 glass there?
No. The bars over here are pretty cheap.
See? Oh, good. All right.
The ones where you have to buy a ticket, and then those are pretty cheap.
There you go.
Well,
so now we know where to go.
Yeah, exactly.
How did your audition go?
Oh, my audition went very well. This is my fourth time at SETC,
mm-hmm.
and I have never really had any. I've never had any luck
mm-hmm.
from SETC. I've never had any job offers or anything, and so that was really discouraging. And this year was a little different. I've already been offered a job before, Six Flags in Georgia.
Sure.
And performing there. And so, you know, this year I was like, you know what? I'm just going to
go and have fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go and have
Took
fun.
Took the pressure off yourself, basically.
Exactly. Right. And I did a really fun package, monologue, song, and everything. And I just went and had a great time. And I ended up getting 14 callbacks.
Good
wow.
for you.
I know. Oh,
good wow. for you.
Is that not insane?
What was your audition? What was your package?
I sang A Call to the Vatican from Nine,
okay,
which is a hysterical song, and then I did a monologue from Fat Pig by Neil LaBute.
Right, okay.
And, you know, it's Tom's ex-girlfriend, Jeannie. It's a monologue,
okay.
And she's talking about... you know, she's kind of asking Tom why he's with this fat girl. And, you know, and it's such a in-your-face. Both of the song and the monologue are both in-your-face. And, you know, and
so brave choices, it sounds like. Right,
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and before, I've always been so safe, I felt like. You know, like
right.
everything that I wore was real safe, like black. And and this year I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and have fun. And I wore like a purple dress that was, you know, fun. And
sure.
I did all this. And it ended up being so wonderful. And
it's amazing what those tiny changes can make.
And,
right?
and that's the thing is, and someone told me before I came here, they were like, oh, you know, you're going to do really well because you know, you're, the pressure's off. And I was like, oh, whatever. And then, and it did. It was so, and that's one thing I've learned. And
so what were some of the callbacks then, if you can, if you want to share?
Just the ones you can remember. And that's 14's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, so. Really.
No, right? No, I was writing them down. I was just like, oh my God. Let's see, Dollywood, Busch Gardens, and nice. Tampa, Dave Clemens.
Sure.
Let's see. Playhouse in the Square. What was another one that I went to? Oh, come on. I don't know. I don't have my list with me.
So you've already done all of your callbacks then?
Oh, yeah, I did. I got them all done last night.
Okay.
It was a blessing.
Cool. Yeah. Now you can drink. Now you can have fun.
Yeah, right.
Enjoy the rest of the thing.
That was the little reason. Yeah.
Well, how do you feel like your callbacks went?
I thought they went wonderful.
Cool.
Really. I really did.
Good for you.
Matt Davenport. Oh, God.
Okay.
You know, and PGT as well. You know,
sure.
And I guess I really wasn't as prepared. I brought 10 headshot resumes, you know, and all this. And
it's always a good thing to...
I really wasn't as prepared as I should have been. And, you know, and I one thing I really realized is that people really want pop and country stuff now. And I guess, I mean, I kind of do have that look for, you know, that kind of entertainment where, you know, that it's... amusement parks and things like that, or cruise lines.
But the key to that, though, is that you're having fun at your audition,
right? And that's the thing. And before, like last year, that happened, and I wasn't as prepared. And this year, I was, and it was fun. And when they asked for something, I felt like I was really prepared. And so that was one thing.
Well, we gave you one of our cards.
Yeah.
You have to call us and let us know if
any
of these callbacks lead to any other job opportunities.
You have to let us know. I will do that.
You have to let us know, because we'll definitely talk about it. We'll put the audio on the air again, and we'll promote you, and you got to tell us when the shows are and all that stuff. That's what this whole thing's about.
Y'all are so sweet.
Well, thanks. We do it just for you.
Nobody else.
Just for you. Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
that sounds like you're very successful.
Yeah,
time.
And you hung with it. I mean, you said you had several down years at SETC, and
congratulations
for sticking with it, too.
Yeah. Definitely, and awesome. I encourage everyone to just come and have fun. That's been the biggest thing that I've learned, is just have fun. And when one person told me this past year was, it's not about what they want, it's about what you can do the best.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've stuck with.
Cool.
So.
Well, congratulations, and thanks for sitting in with us.
Thank you.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
First, there was one. And then... there was this other guy. We wanted to add another guy. I mean, in addition to the first two guys, but the studio is too small for that. Instead, that third guy, let's just say he wound up unemployed and having to read ad copy in an announcer's voice, but I guess it makes sense. I mean, it is T for two, right? It's two's company, right? Unless your landlord is Don Knotts. You lousy, cheap bastards! Couldn't have thought outside the box just this one freaking time, huh? Couldn't have thrown somebody a bone, could you? Mommy. I should have become a veterinarian. I'm sorry.
All right, let's just focus on the next segment. Go to the two shot.
So we have another longtime friend sitting in the chair now.
Hey.
Yeah, so if you've known us a year, it's a long time.
Keep it clean.
Gary Garrison is with us. Gary, how are you doing?
I am really well.
Thank you for the write-up in the loop, by the way.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
That was
you
awesome.
You know, it's gotten... did you get any attention for that?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. A little
flow to the website?
Yeah. Which is what we... I mean, it's the whole point, you know?
Right.
That's the whole point. We had a great interview, though, with Mark. Out of the whole
guy.
Thing, we had it. Was a ball. That was a fun interview. I haven't seen him. I don't know if he was going to be here.
He's
or not,
around. I'm seeing him at 6:30.
Did you pass by? But he
told me he was going to give me some barbecue.
Oh,
you know what
I'm
saying? I don't know.
We're going to Dreamland.
Okay.
Later on.
Is that a barbecue place?
That is the best barbecue in Alabama.
Dreamland. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it? Is it in Five Points?
The one in Birmingham is in Five Points. Well, here we are promoting Dreamland on our podcast, which I'm okay with. The original one. The original one's in Tuscaloosa. It's a University of Alabama thing, but they've since broadened out and all that stuff. But that's where we're headed.
Let's talk about theater, boys.
Let's do that.
Inexplicable
dumb show. It's a mouthful. I know. So yeah, I mean, we've been here. We did a podcasting workshop this week.
Right on.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a ball with that. Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty good turnout.
Look at this VIP tag on your sticker there.
Yeah, with ribbons.
Yeah,
I come ribboned.
Well, are you doing the same kind of thing you did last year?
You did the 10 minutes, right?
I did. I responded to the 10 minute plays last night.
Mm-hmm.
wait, what happened? Excuse me. Hello, waking up. And you know what?
You've got coffee here, too. That's the sad thing.
No. You know what? I don't know why we're making this such a hard... Why is this a 10-minute play is 10 minutes?
Well, we talked about that. We talked about that last year, didn't
we? Right?
Recurring themes.
And all we really want in our entertainment is a conflict. With stories.
Yeah.
With characters.
What a concept
you've got there. And you know, for some reason, we have equated short with sketch.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Do you know what I mean? So if it's short, it can't have any substance to it.
Right.
That's so wrong. Yeah.
You know, one of my projects that I do for my theater appreciation class, which is the class that everybody, regardless of your major, you know, takes on campus, one of the projects that I do is it's a playwriting project.
Oh.
And I just tell them, I said, okay, take a fairy tale and rewrite it however you want to. It's up to your thing, whatever you want to do. And they got 5 minutes.
Right.
You're right?
Right.
And some of them are downright hilarious.
I bet they are.
But they are sketchy.
Sure.
You know, it feels like a Saturday Night Live sketch because that's what they know.
Right.
You know, every now and then I'll come across one that's like, wow, that was really well developed in 5 minutes. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
One every blue moon, you know?
It's a great assignment.
Well, thank you.
Well, I do something similar. We do a News of the Weird play. And basically we take the first half of the semester and they bring in, each class brings in a News of the Weird story. We vote on winner of the week. Then we build a pool of weird news stories, and then they have to adapt that into basically 5 or 7 minute play. And
I think that's great.
So they do, and some of them are really, some of them are not so much, but some of them turn out to be really well done.
Yeah.
So, all right, since we're sharing, boys, sure. Right? So I teach graduate students at NYU, and this is the assignment they love and hate. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's so simple, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's a short play. It's like 5 minutes. That's all they have to do. They have to just write 5 pages, which is going to translate to about 8 or 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Three characters, naturalistic, must have a beginning, middle, and an end, has to have a recognizable conflict that's resolved, and their mother has to be one of the characters.
I love that part.
That's
right?
Good. That's
so they're
awesome.
they're like snoring all the way up to that point when I say, and your mother has to be one of the characters. Because, you know, everybody has feelings about their mom.
Right.
Good, bad, she's complicated, she's complex.
I may steal that for the
Yeah, really.
I mean, totally
right,
steal
so it. Like, and they're totally, they're like thrilled and they hate me all at the same time. They're like, what in the, is he doing?
Now, is this for your playwriting classes,
it's
right?
It's for my lab, yeah.
Okay, wow, yeah.
So it's not going to go anywhere, but, you know, we talk about a person's, a writer's ability to look at detail in people and complexity in people and complex relationships.
Right.
That kind of thing. Teaches that real quick.
It doesn't it?
Objectivity. Bias.
Love that.
Things like that.
That's a fantastic.
And then depending on your family, bigotry, homophobia,
sure,
racism. Misogyny.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, all those good things.
All the stuff that we keep in the closet.
The isms.
The isms.
Yeah, exactly.
The isms of theater. There it is.
So listen, can I give a shout out to...
Please, sure, okay. Absolutely.
I want to give out a shout out. I think you guys know him to... is it the Workhouse Theater in Greenville, North Carolina, South Carolina?
Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think it's called the Workhouse. It's Paul Savas. And the reason I'm shouting him out, and I'm shouting out him and everybody else, is that he's one of those theaters that you get the email about, you know, we have to raise $100,000 by Friday, or we're gonna have to close our doors.
Right.
So this is, you know, this is happening
across the country.
Across the country. It is so
frightening.
Yeah, it is.
And let me tell you why it's... I think it's important for all of us. Is look, you know, it's bad for any institution to go down. But when it's these medium to small-sized theaters, mm-hmm. that's who I'm producing at. That's who you're mm-hmm. producing. That's mm-hmm. who the majority of us are producing.
And they're also hiring. I mean, they're hiring actors like us. And
absolutely. So, so if you get a chance, and let me tell you guys, $5 to those guys is mm-hmm. a lot of money.
Yeah.
$5 means a lot. So if you got an extra $5. You know, by all means.
Well, now that you've mentioned it, we've
got a converse story of that actually.
Oh, yeah. Right.
We have.
Did somebody give you guys money?
No.
That would be awesome. But you can do that at inexplicabledumbshow.com
or GaryGarrison.com.
Right.
Just throw me some money.
Sure. Why not?
But there's a company in, called Studio Roanoke that's starting out, mm-hmm. and they have booked they bought a storefront, in the middle of renovating it to create a space. Have decided they have an April date of opening, and they're trying to raise $100,000.
Oh God!
And they're going to be opening the show in April, and he's in the process of doing that. And he's like, "I need a deadline." That was it.
Wow.
So yeah, we just talked to him today, actually.
Did he raise his money?
Well, he's still in the process. Yeah.
Is he here?
Uh-huh. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we should
the hat or something.
Yeah, exactly.
We got it. He needs to walk around with like a little chart says, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, we're actually, since we brought this up now both times, we're going to make sure that both of these interviews appear in Monday's episode because we're like, that's about fundraising. I'm getting that guy on as quick as we can.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's a promotion. You know, it's a growing, absolutely brand new company as opposed to some.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's not a negative
fundraising. Yeah. Like, give them money or we're shutting up shop.
I think the workhouse has been around for, you know, many, many years. But I got an email yesterday before I came here from the Guild's office, and it was from About Face in Chicago, which is their oldest. It's one of the oldest gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered. God, it's a mouthful. Do we really have to say all that? But anyway, it is one of those. It's a theater for those folks, for and by and about. And they're it's imminent unless they get like a gajillion dollars, you know, and they've been around forever. So it's, you know, I think this is just the tip.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking about that in terms of everything.
Right.
You know, not just theater, but it seems like it gets.
Well, I mean, you know, even the Tennessee rep.
Okay, I'm sorry, I had to pause. There's the scroll by thing that says that this stripper is upset that the president can't visit nude strip clubs. She apparently invited him. Obama that's where it's been scrolling by, and I caught in the last part of it.
Oh, I didn't know if you mean like the president of SETC.
No, she's talking about it. She's talking about President Obama.
Oh, right on.
And I'm like, you know, but Vita Von Teese.
Really?
Yeah, she would love
to come and see her take it all off. Okay. Lord have mercy.
I was going to say you can't write stuff like that, but somebody did.
Yeah. Somebody's in a little room somewhere.
There is. Somebody's typing. Yeah. Somebody's typing. But we're definitely going to put this interview on with that one, too, because, I mean, it is important. I mean, it is important. There's so many theater companies that are going
to do this. It comes down to this. You know, everybody here is looking for a job.
Yeah.
And everybody here wants that kind of next step out. Mm-hmm. And I think that, at least for the writers that are listening, it's great for us to be produced in these small theaters all over the country, but you better really learn the fine art of self-production because it is coming your way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, because you know there are too many of us and there are now too few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so we better learn all how to do it ourselves.
It's amazing how quickly everything affects everybody else.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, we haven't even talked about this yet in terms of, you know, off mic or anything like that, but I mean there is a palpable tension about this particular conference.
Oh,
about
really?
That. I mean, I feel maybe it's just that it's imminent for me too, but it may just be that but I mean it seems like that everybody is, I mean, it's, I've seen more people with the job contact sticker on their name badges and all that stuff, and I mean, you know, absolutely, man. That's the whole point of this thing.
Right.
You know, is to network and make those contacts and stuff like that. And that's what we've got to keep doing. I mean, all of us.
But, you know, we shouldn't also be afraid to, you know, these, we've gotten a little crazy about all this, but, you know, if you've got the 5 spare minutes in your life, you should go down and volunteer at one of these places.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, we need to start helping folks out in ways, you know, we want, give me, as opposed to, let me give you something.
Right.
You know? And it's, you know, to volunteer at a Shakespeare festival or a community theater or whatever it happens to be.
Even if it's slapping some paint on a set for a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this was a great sobering moment.
It's a
thank you for bringing us back to reality.
I brought you down. This is what we call a drive-by interview. Is that a drive-by? Is that Gary Garrison? Drive-by.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you guys. Good luck. Well, thanks, you guys. It's a pleasure seeing both of you. Good luck with this.
It's great to see you.
How's it going, by the way?
It's going really well. It's going really well.
What does that mean exactly when someone says that?
Well, it means that it's not gotten worse.
That's very true.
We've got... According to our download numbers, we've got steady listeners that are constantly coming back to the show, and we're getting, I mean, people are, you know, subscribing to the show via iTunes, and it's a consistent thing. And
Do they pay you when they subscribe to you?
No. See, that's the thing. In order to be on iTunes, well, that's the problem, but in order for it to be on iTunes, it has to be a free show.
Oh.
Right? But that does not mean that you can't sell advertisements on your podcast.
Nice.
And so that's something that we're starting to kind of put more and more thought into.
It's a kind of a catch 22. It's that you got to have the download numbers for advertisers to be interested
right.
in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of based loosely on the same concept that radio is based on, that the amount of listeners that you have means that you can demand more money for, you know, how much time you spend on your advertising.
The good
thing about podcasting, though, is that we're not limited to 30-second chunks of, you know, time.
Right.
We can do, you know, if somebody wants to just say, just mention my name a couple times in the podcast, we can do that,
right.
You know, and then that kind of thing. So that's what we're starting to shift our brains around, is trying to figure out a way to make it pay for itself to start with.
Well, should we send people over to you as we see them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just send them over to you to say hi.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, interesting people.
Yes.
I'll be the filter.
God. There you go. we're going to come back up and set up again tomorrow morning. Actually, we're going to have to leave tomorrow midday-ish.
Yeah.
But we're going to be here for, I don't know, about another half an hour, and then tomorrow morning we'll be setting up again. So absolutely, send people to put in that chair. Yeah.
Well, Beth Lovell is a friend of mine.
Awesome.
So if I catch her on the elevator,
please,
I'm going to say, go see these boys.
Please do.
Because she's a hoot. Did you see her today?
No. See, we were here.
She was... young.
That's what I heard.
That's
what I heard.
So funny.
Yeah, please send her our way.
Yeah,
we'd love to talk to her.
Okay, you guys. Ciao.
Thanks.
Ciao.
See ya.
Bye.
If you like what you hear on the Inexplicable Dumb Show, why not take a minute or two to fill out our listener survey? By filling out this anonymous survey, you make it possible for us to attract potential advertisers so we can keep bringing you our show for free. Go to our website and click the listener survey button to start now. www.inexplicabledumbshow.com.
Okay, so we decided to go against the naming bit this week because it's our first SETC episode back. We wanted to try to cram in as much as we could. So in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be SETC as well. So we're going to skip over the naming bit section, and we're going to just call these SETC week one, SETC week two, and so on and so forth. But this week, our first SETC week, we're going to thank Todd Rousteau of Studio Roanoke for sitting in with us, as well as Gary Garrison. And best of luck to Melissa Powell and Matthew Riley. I hope that everything works out well for those guys. And stay tuned next week, because we got a lot more audio, and then the next couple of weeks coming up after that. And then we're going to Humana again. So we'll have a lot of exciting stuff to talk about and to bring you guys. Again, thanks to everybody who came to the workshop. We really do appreciate it. And if you guys have any questions or anything like that, feel free to send us an email at podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. You can also call our voicemail line at 615-866-1282, or you can Skype us at dumbshow-podcast. Thanks again, and I hope John's having a great time, and I hope he brought me back some mouse ears. And we'll talk to you next week. See you. Bye. That's
intelligent. Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No ease. That's blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.